that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. By God's help, we're going to speak along the lines of being thankful. And would you join us as we ask God to bless us today? We surely need Him, don't we? Whether few or many, we need God. Our Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For being a faithful God. You are a caring God. A protecting God. You're a God of blessings. Would you bless everyone today? Not a lot of us, but I for myself want a blessing, and others have come to be blessed. And we ask you that you will bless by the aid of the Holy Spirit, everyone, children, young people, and elderly. Regardless to our age, we need you, and we need to be thankful. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. If you have a thankful heart today, you are blessed. You believe that? It's better for you physically. It's better for you mentally. It's better for you emotionally. It's better for you spiritually. If you are thankful and grateful. The Word of God, though, makes a prediction about the last days. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, this prediction is that there will be unthankfulness. First verse, we'll start. 3rd chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You believe we're in here? Brother Purvis stated he's 84 years old and he's never seen a time like now. We're in perilous times. If you didn't know it before today, take my word. We're in perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own self. That is true. Covetous, that's true. Boasters, that. All of this is in the last days. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now there'll be a lot of people today that'll have 3 square meals. Steak, shrimp, lobster, good food. And they won't even take the time to say thank you, Lord. So we're living in this time when people are unthankful. But the children of God should be the most thankful people in the world. True? We ought to be thankful for Jesus. For Him being willing to leave the grandeur, the splendor of heaven. In that environment He was in, there was no hostilities towards Him. He was honored there. The angels, the Father honored Him. He had an atmosphere of love. But when He come to this world, the old king had already heard about His birth and he sought to kill. Exterminate this Jesus. Quite a difference in the environment that He had in this world than what He had in the splendor of heaven. And also he was called names, wasn't he? Called him Beelzebub and I don't know what all names, but that's bad enough. So he was hated. He was hated by the people that he was come to bless. He said, "How often would I have gathered you as a hen does her chick, but you would not." And tears come to his eyes. He wept. He felt an emotion. Here, I've left heaven. And these people that I would love to have had gathered to me don't want any part of me. It hurt him. Have you ever put tears in his eyes? Lord help us. To not put tears in the eyes of Jesus. And so it was that he was so hated that they wanted to exterminate him out of this world and wanted him crucified and treated terrible. And he was seized by soldiers and put through trial and the verdict was, crucify him, crucify him. And they spit on him. Adult people coming up and spitting on Jesus. How degrading. They also took their hands and slapped him until his face was altered. His looks was altered. He didn't look like Jesus. His face was probably kind of like, well, yes, prize fighters, they have their eyes, have had kind of swelled eyes, and so he didn't look like Jesus. He went to be crucified. They beat him with a whip. They put this crown of thorns upon his head, and some of the thorns could have been as long as an inch and a half. Took something and beat that into the head, and the thorns could have been long enough to penetrate to the skull. Bleeding. And they took, and he laid himself down. I don't think they had to manhandle him. He just laid himself down on the cross. And they took the cross and let it fall into the ground. And there he hung. It had such an effect on nature that the sun refused to shine. And there he hung until he cried out to his Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And he said, "It's finished," and he gave up the ghost. We ought to be thankful for Jesus today. For his willingness to go through what he did, to suffer and die on a cross like he had did. We ought to appreciate salvation today. Lately I've been thanking God for being saved. I don't desire to commit one sin. I don't want to tell one lie. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to commit any sins. I'm thankful to be saved. Salvation is a wonderful thing. If you're saved today, you ought to be thankful. You are a blessed person. A special person.
He said, "I set them aside." Something like that.
We're called out.
That's right.
And this song 64 expresses and describes how salvation is. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortals ever found. Isn't it a shame more people don't find it, get it, want it? My soul can never cease to sing, such love and peace abound. Salvation is omnipotent, combined with love supreme. Come down in pity, so intent to rescue and redeem. Salvation flows from Father's heart, a stream of holy love. It covers me with glory bright and wings my soul above. Listen to this verse. Salvation is a perfect plan. There's not a flaw in it. God never had a mistake, any kind of mistake, when He brought forth this plan of salvation. It's perfect. Always has been and always will be. It heals the saddest one who seeks the Father's boundless grace through His beloved Son. Salvation, oh, that word so great, it thrills my heart with joy. To me it is. What? A rich estate no foe can e'er destroy. Does that sound like something to be thankful for? Salvation, oh, that word so great, it thrills my heart with joy. To me it is a rich estate no foe can e'er destroy. Jesus, our friend and redeemer, Jesus, our wonderful life, saved by thy grace, we're forever hanging the blood that made us one. And we've named Jesus to be thankful for salvation. We should be thankful for the church of God. True? We should be thankful for the people of God. They're the best people in the world. People that low rate the church of God need to have their eyesight elevated. The people of God are the best people in this old world. Do they have human propensities that isn't always agreeable? Huh? They're still the best people in the world. The people of God. The children of God. Be thankful for your brothers and sisters. Be thankful for the truth. I'm so glad I don't believe I have to be slain in the spirit and fall on the floor and act unseemly. I'm thankful I don't believe that way. I'm thankful for the truth that tells you that what Jesus never did was slain in the spirit like that. He never talked in tongues. I don't have to either. That's a popular, moving, charismatic. But it's wrong. Don't have anything to do with it. Stay away from it. Don't even flirt with it. Thankful for the truth. I'm thankful for the truth that I don't believe when I'm eating a piece of steak that it's one of my ancestors. Yeah. There's a belief of sacred cows and their ancestors. No, it isn't true. I can eat a piece of steak and I don't think it's somebody come back. An ancestor that I eat. So be thankful for the truth. Need to be thankful for the truth. There's a lot of deceptions, a lot of false teachings, and the air is just full of deceptions. One kind or another kind. And it's out to deceive. And if you believe and have faith in God, Be thankful for that. You know what? Fanny Crosby. She wasn't born blind, but there was a doctor that prescribed something to be put on her eyes that it contributed if it didn't cause blindness. But Fanny Crosby, the doctor that prescribed this, felt so bad he just left the area. But Fanny Crosby talked like if she could see him, she would thank him. She was thankful for her blindness. Now that's a depth, isn't it? To be. And she never probably remembered seeing a rose bloom or a sunset or the things that people with sight and joy. Our sister Purvis, sight has been impaired, but the other day she was thankful for what she could see, or for her eyesight being as good as it was. That's good, isn't it? But this Fanny Crosby wasn't sitting around having a pity party. She was a thankful person. And she had maybe 20/20 spiritual vision, because she talked about visions of rapture. What does it do? And angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. So in her state of blindness, she still had blessings from the Lord, and God blessed her life richly. Oh, some of the songs that she was inspired to write has been a blessing to hundreds and thousands of people. Oh, I love the one about Savior, more than life to me. I'm clinging to thee. She probably had to cling to people to lead her around, but she was clinging to Jesus too. So, Yeah, that was one of her songs, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And one of the verses in one of the songs says, through this changing world below, lead me gently. Maybe she had people leading her sometimes that was kind of rough. I was watching a couple of sisters, and one of them was blind and the other one was trying to help her. And she misjudged something and the blind sister run into it. Well, maybe Fanny Crosby had some incidents like that, but she said, through this changing world below, lead me gently as I go. So today we got a lot to be thankful for. Even the country that we live in is on a slippery slope. It has gone so far from what it was when I was a child. It's so different. Oh, we can't roll back time, can we? It's so different. But still, we got some things in this country to be thankful for. Think of that. So we got a lot to be thankful for. What if Eve would have been thankful for what she had? What'd she have? Paradise on earth. What was some of the amenities in the garden?
They didn't have to work.
Did they have any food? What kind of food did they have in the garden? So they had food. Did they have tornadoes?
No.
They didn't have hurricanes. No rain. Did they have beautiful scenery? Did they have good water to drink? What'd you say?
They had heat and heaviness.
Oh, that's the premier thing. Every day, God come down and communicated with them. Think of the things Eve didn't have to do that you mothers and housewives have to do. She didn't have to stand over a stove. Amen. She didn't have to wash clothes. How many of you like to iron? Do I see a hand? No, I don't. She didn't have to iron. She had the only man in the world. She didn't have to worry about Adam slipping out and going with some other woman, did she? No. She had a lot to be thankful for. Was she thankful like she should have been? No. If she would have used the strategy when the serpent was trying to beguile her, and she would have said, oh no, I've got a husband, I've got all this food to eat, I've got the beautiful scenery to look at, oh, I don't need that other fruit. I'm so thankful for what God has provided for me. She had it made like no other woman has. I don't think she ever did come to Adam and say, oh, Adam, I have such a stress headache today. The wash machine broke down. No, she didn't have to say that to Adam. She had it made. She wasn't thankful like she should have been. How would our world been today if she would have said to the serpent, no thanks. Don't have to have that fruit. I've got everything I need and communion with God every day. Maybe come in the morning, maybe come in the evening to cool. So, at any rate, the world could have been different, huh? If she would have been what? If she would have been thankful. Was Jacob a blessed man? When he had angered his brother and left home, that very night as he slept, there was a vision of angels. Was he blessed when his brother was going to meet him and he had an all-night wrestling match, which was, the odds were against a human being and an immortal being? Would he have the blessing that God gave him? And you know, the descendants of his were called after his name, Israel. The children of Israel, 12 tribes, the children of Israel. Was he blessed after a time that he felt like his beloved son Joseph was dead? But then he found out the authentic truth that he was still alive. And that he was the food supplier where they had food. And he was in a land of famine. And he had invitation from the top man in Egypt to come and live. Was he blessed? Did he have something to be thankful for? Well, turn to Genesis. And the 47th chapter, I think it is. After he had been brought, he was set before, brought before Pharaoh, the 7th verse of the 47th chapter, and Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto him, how old are you? Now listen to his reply. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been? Shame on Jacob. Here he is with an opportunity to testify of God's blessings and be thankful for God's blessings. Instead of that, he is reeking with lament. How old was he? It tells. What does it say about the days of my years? How old was he?
130 years old.
Now, do you think your days is going to be few if you live to be 130? That's what he said. The days of my years are few. And they've been evil. They're evil. Here he is with this opportunity of testifying to the number one man in Egypt of God's goodness and telling him, "Oh, Pharaoh, God's been so good to me. God blessed me. He's blessed me with He's blessed my finances. He blessed me to meet my brother in peace that had wanted to kill me. He blessed me with children. He's blessed me with..." Well, he did have more than one wife, but it was in them days. It's not now. One's all you're allowed. But at any rate, he had a lot to be thankful for, didn't he, Sister Purvis? Was he? Did it sound like he was a man of thanksgiving? "Few and evil have been my days. Shame on Jacob." Shame on him for being like that. Today, let us be like the man that was healed of leprosy, the Samaritan. Do you remember what leprosy was like? The disease that made white spots, your skin decay, and parts of your body could just fall off, piece of ear, decaying. And these 10 men were all together. They were restricted from society. They had to cry unclean. They had to stay in their little limitations. Can you imagine their conversation that day before Jesus come along? One of them may be crying. "Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it being a leper. I haven't seen my family. I never see them again. Can't hold a job. Can't live a normal life. And people don't even want to be around us. We have to holler unclean." I don't know what they was talking about. You know, if one of them said, "Oh, I'd love to have some of my wife's home cooking. I'd like to see my children. Be around them." Whatever they were talking about, they found out Jesus was close. 17th chapter of Luke. When they found out, after they found out, they lifted up their voice and they cried, didn't they? Luke 17 and 12th verse. "And he, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice." They wanted to make sure. They was a distance from Jesus, but they wanted to make sure that he heard them. And they said, "Jesus." Do you think that got his attention? "Master, have mercy on us." They needed mercy, didn't they? They were in a bad shape. They probably smelled bad. Have you ever been around decaying sores? There was a sister years ago that was brought to Shawnee, and she was in the home so bad, and her problem was so bad, they moved her to an apartment. And the odor from her feet and legs was not good. These men probably smelled bad. But did Jesus have mercy on him? And as he entered, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were what? Healed, weren't they? Wouldn't that be a miracle? 10 of them? Man, medical didn't have no kind of cure for them at all. They were out there until they died. But they were cleansed. And they could look down. That finger that was missing, it's there now. And look over at somebody. Well, your nose looks perfectly normal. And a surge of energy comes into their body. We're healed. You know, when Naaman dipped the seventh time, he come out of there just perfect. No. All of it was gone. These men should have been shouting happy. We're healed. I can go to my parents. I can go look for a job. I can go see my family. I can go and have a good hot meal tonight. But one of them, I got to go back to the man that made this possible. I got to thank him for making this possible. I can look at myself and see the miracle, the change, the difference. Oh no, the job can wait. My family can wait. The home cooked meal can wait. I got to go thank Jesus. What did he do? I don't know how far he had to go and how long he had to search for him. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he could look and see. It's different. I'm changed. I'm healed. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back. And with a loud voice, don't be afraid to praise the Lord. Glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the people today that should be returning to say thank you, Lord? Where are they today? I live on the property of the Golden Rule Home, and I take my meals over there some. Those old people go in there. And the sister and myself, we kind of take turns thanking the Lord. But I don't see anyone else in that room of a number of people bowing their heads and say thank you. Remember the prediction in 2 Timothy. 3rd chapter, that people were going to be unthankful. And that's one of the sins in our world.
The Lord's willingness to take me to heaven. I'm thankful.
Yeah. How many are thankful for the ministers of the gospel?
What are you thankful for?
Well, I thank the Lord probably at least 3 times a day for being saved. But for out of the spiritual part, I'm thankful for air conditioning. I am thankful for air conditioning. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? It seemed like I remember Brother Leslie in a prayer saying something about in his Thanksgiving part of the prayer for grass. How many people have you heard thanking grass? I think he did that one time in his prayer. Thank the Lord for grass. Or in the time he was in this part of his prayer of Thanksgiving, he included grass. Well, yeah, it's important. Grass is really important, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody just calling it out in prayer. So,
Uh-huh.
And I noticed last night, yesterday evening, when the mobile wasn't functioning in air, he showed up, and when they drove off, it was working. So I really appreciate air conditioning, but my spiritual blessings, Lord knows that I'm frequenting telling him thank you for salvation. But that's just one of the things. But may God help us to be like the one that returned to say thank you.
In other words, thank God for everything, for good and the bad. Because the bad, of course, if you don't need it, call on God how much you
want. Well, the script... The scripture says all things work together for good to those who what?
Who are called.
Well, if you take and want to make a cake, if you just had eggs and flour, would that be good? How many people would want to? But what else does it take to make it good? Sugar? And if you mix it all together with the eggs and the flour, and then when you put it in the oven, and if it's got good old pineapples in the bottom of it or on the top, is it good to eat then? May God bless us. Pray for me that those things that are difficult, that I'll allow them to work for my good. And it's not all peaches and cream, folks. If I stood up here and told you the things that I go through in traveling, it isn't all peaches and cream. So I need God to help me to allow everything that happens to work for my good. Our Father, great is thy faithfulness. Every day your mercies is renewed. If it wasn't for your mercies, we'd be consumed. But you've been good to every one of us. Help us to be good to you. Help us to bless you. You appreciate thanksgiving. Jesus appreciated the one that made the effort, took the time to come back and say thanks. You appreciate that also. And perhaps the more we thank you, the more you'll feel like doing that you're appreciated. Bless these young people, these children, to get a hold of the fact that God is good and he deserves to be thanked. Bless us older ones, that we won't take the blessings of God for granted, but that we'll realize that it's God that is our provider, protector, and our helper. We ask these blessings. May we from this day forward continue in thanksgiving, and even may our thanksgiving accelerate and expand. And may we all be truly grateful unto you for your mercies unto us. We ask, Lord, that you'll even, like we heard a couple here today, they said they was thankful to be here. May others come with thanksgiving of the opportunity. May they value these few services in Holly Hill. Value it to the supporting of it. With prayers and their presence in every way it needs support. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. 46. Well, I praise the Lord.